Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, alhamdulillah, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him send peace and blessing his beloved and our beloved Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we'll finish off the section on al-awamir wa nawahi. So it's an-nahi is like an extension of amr. It's obviously prohibited form, which is the opposite, where amr asks you to do something and nahi prevents you from doing something. So let's get started. And so we learned about amr last week. We learned about majaz and haqiqi meanings of words. We're going to today go into finishing the nahi, and then we're going to start on probably one of the most important discussions. When I go to is am and khas, and we're going to cover am today. Am meaning the universal or the general, and khas is the particular applicability or the specific in terms of usul of fiqh. These words, obviously, they'll have it in your languages. You might have in Urdu and other languages, you have these words that mean certain things. They overlap. But similarly in Arabic, they have a linguistic meaning, but they also have a specific technical meaning when it comes to usul al-fiqh. All right. And bismillah. Let's put the right slide on. So the address of Allah Almighty includes the... this is one slide off, maybe. Yeah. So the address of Allah Almighty includes the believers, men and women. As for the forgetful adolescents and the insane, they are not being addressed. Right? The unbelievers are addressed with the branches of the law, with what is required for its soundness, which is Islam, as is in this, as is the saying of Almighty Allah, what caused you to enter the fire? They will say, we are not among those who prayed. And Imam, in the commentary, I'll read that, believers enter within the scope of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The subject of disbelievers will come. Those who are forgetful, minors, and insane, Ibn Qasim includes also, or unconscious, do not enter into those addressed. Meaning that in the khitab, in the address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning towards, because the amr is given in the speech of form, in the form of speech. So when the address is being made, the speech is being made, the amr or the nahi is being made, then this aura that is made to the person, who are excluded from this. So the kuffar, the believers enter this in this, and the kuffar we'll discuss in a moment. Those who are forgetful, the nasi, the person is forgotten, the minors and the insane do not enter into those addressed, since legal responsibility has been lifted from them. Once someone ceases to be forgetful, for example, he's ordered to rectify what he has missed during his forgetfulness, like making up missed prayers and reimbursing damaged property. Non-believers are intended recipients of the particulars of sacred law and on that which are required for its valid performance. Islam, because of the Quranic verse, what led you into the flame? They will say, because they were not of those who prayed. The verse continues, nor were it those who fed the poor, but we used to talk of vanities with the vain talkers, and we used to deny the day of requital, till certainly death overtook us. The significance of them being addressed by this verse is this punishment for those actions, since it is not valid for them to perform them, because the actions are dependent upon intentions, which is dependent upon Islam. These actions are not held against them after entering Islam as an enticement to enter Islam. So the believers are addressed. Just give me one sec. Right. So the believers are addressed. Sabi, the adolescent, it's translated as adolescent, and in this book it's translated as minors. Basically, is pre-pubescent, meaning pre the age of puberty. So puberty generally translates becoming baligh. And baligh is reached three ways or four ways. Three ways, either they have a wet dream, ihtilam, or there is hair on the pubic region, right? So doesn't include anywhere else, just on the pubic region. Or they reach the age of 15 years, according to the Hijri calendar, which is about 14 years and 7 months. It doesn't have to be these three things together. It, just one of these things is enough to establish. For a female, obviously, her haid, monthly period, that is a fourth thing that's specific to the ladies, to the girls, would mean that they have reached the age of baligh, or they are Islamically mature. There's another one mentioned in the books, pregnancy, but pregnancy cannot exist unless haid is there. It's impossible to have a pregnancy without a haid. The voice changing specifically is more to do with the boys. Voice changing, having a beard or moustache, or the body change, you know, growing very quickly. They call them growth spurts. These are not factors in deciding whether a person has reached the age of is baligh or not. Like I said, if they become taller all of a sudden, doesn't mean they're baligh, right? The last one that is there, like in terms of time factor, is 15. So there's 14 years and 7 months. About 14 years and seven in the Gregorian calendar. And by that age, they are Islamically baligh, mature, zakat, fard salat, fasting, all these things are fard upon them, right? So now they're not to be treated like children. To a certain degree, they're responsible for themselves. They still have to be groomed and, what's the word for it, trained into adulthood, right? They have to be, like, especially the mothers for the daughters and the fathers for the sons, they have to help them into manhood and womanhood. But Islamically, they are now responsible for their own actions because they are Islamically, they are baligh, they are responsible now. Whatever tarbiyah really you need to do was to do it before that age. All right. So the children that are, and children are, of, when I say children, what he says here, adolescents, which is the sabi, which is a child, which is, they are not legally obligated. So the khitab is not towards children or towards the one forgetful or the one that is insane. The word that is used in Arabic is majnoon. My teacher, Mufti Al-Wahid, he wrote a recent masala. It's quite a detailed fatwa. About a dozen pages on what do you call it? On someone who's got autistic, a husband who's autistic or he's got some sort of mental condition, right? That he had acquired maybe after. I don't think he's autistic, but maybe autistic. I remember, I can't remember the exact condition, but because generally the word majnoon is very broad, right? And the word majnoon or insane is translated here, and he is translated as insane as well. That a person, what's the definition of, one of the dictionary mentioned it, that a person is not able to distinguish between that which is hasan and which is qabih. That which is good and bad cannot discern what is good and what is bad and cannot comprehend the consequences or the ramifications of things. So they're not able to project forward that how things will turn out, the consequences or the ends of things, right? These are the ways to, but in simple terms, they're able to not distinguish between right and wrong. If they don't have that discerning, that means like that discerning quality, then this is considered majnoon for Sharia terms, right? Now today, there are so many sub-classifications of mental illness, schizophrenia, shape, you know, there's like a spectrum of even of autism, right? Asperger's. On and on and on and on. Like there's a whole list of mental conditions that people, dementia for in the seniors, Allah protect us all, but dementia, Alzheimer's, etc. These are all mental conditions, right? So there are so many, but in general terms, a person who becomes unaware of what's happening around them or they're unable to discern anything, and this can be of varying degrees as well. Rasulullah said, "Rufi'an ummati khatnan al-khata wa nisyan," that the obligation of is lifted from my ummah, is lifted from al-khata wa nisyan, by mistake. If you do something accidentally, you're excused. Wa nisyan is forgetfulness. There's a narration by Ali radiallahu anhu, it's in Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah as well. Imam Ahmad also narrated this narration, that the pen has been lifted from three, from the sleeping person till he wakes up. Right? A person who's sleeping, while they're asleep, they're not obligated, right? Because they're not in control of their faculties. The young person, the child, that until he reaches, has a wet dream, or he has a nocturnal emission, that's another way, but basically he becomes baligh, or she becomes baligh, right? And the third one is a majnoon, until he has sense, until he knows. So this is talking about a majnoon that has episodes, it's called episodes. A person might have an episode for half a day, then they come back to their normal senses, right? So until, while he's in that episode, he's not, the pen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the pen has been lifted from him. There is no hisab on him in while he's in that episode. Sabi's of two types, mumayyiz and ghair mumayyiz. Mumayyiz is the one, he's still a child, but can distinguish between right and wrong. That's, I think I've explained this before. Mumayyiz, so the reward is written for him, but the sin is not. And this is by the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, and the rahmah of Allah, and the kindness of the karam of Allah, that a child who has not reached the age, is not baligh yet, but can discern between right and wrong, and does a good action, right? Knowing that it's good, they are rewarded for that good. But if they did a sin while they're a child, such a child, then they don't, then the sin is not written, the sin is lifted from them. So only the pen of sin is lifted, and the pen of good deeds still writes. The forgetful person, the majnoon, I just wrote the definition here somewhere, mixing of his discerning, so he mixes up the discerning mental capacity, the strength of his mental capacity, discerning mental capacity, that he's unable to discern between that which is good and bad, and he doesn't understand the consequence of things. That's what a majnoon is. So as for the kafir, the disbelievers, the kafir will be judged firstly on their asal kufr, their original kufr. This is their first major thing before any other judgment. This is what they judge on. And as an extension, they'll be judged for every sin and every wajib that they abandoned. Every sin that they commit, so zina, murder, and so forth. They have the sin. So the kufar will be not judged just on their kufr. That's one thing. Let's say there are two kafirs, and both kafirs will be judged on the original sin of kufr itself. And as an extension of that, their punishment will be of varying degrees based on all the other sins that they committed, of which they are also being addressed by the Sharia. So the unbelievers are addressed with the branches of laws, meaning, and the proof that is presented at the ayat that is given there, they're given there, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ, right? So كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ إِلَّا أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ. Next, right? إِلَّا أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. So they be asked, the kuffar, they ask, everyone will be detained in hell because of what they did, except the people of the right, those who will be given their book of deed in the right hand, who will be in the gardens and asking about the guilty ones, what has brought you to the saqar, that is Jahannam, one of the names of Jahannam. They will say, we were not among those who offered salat. So the kuffar, they are asked, and this is qualified, that it is kuffar, it's not Muslims that are in saqar, this conversation that is happening, we were not among those who offered salat, and we did not give food to the needy, and we indulge in mocking the truth along with those indulge, and we used to deny the day of requital, the day of Qiyamah, until, so that the denial of the day of Qiyamah means what? They are kafirs, they're disbelievers, until when we were overtaken with that which is certain. So some kafirs do certain sins while others don't. They'll be treated accordingly, meaning that they'll be punished. Their sins are factored into the punishment. The more sins that they committed, the more evil that they did, the more the punishment will be more intense. On that. So, and when it says that we were deniers, right? We were وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. So نُكَذِّب is the denial or making takdeeb, making something a lie. So that means that they are kuffar. They didn't pray in feet, they mock from the kindness and karam and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who becomes Muslim, right? All of these sins are forgiven. And they're not just forgiven, they're turned into good deeds as well, right? And this is what, like Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, when he asked Rasulullah, he's worried about his past, right? Some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, like Amr bin As, they fought against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a long time. But at the end of their life, they became radiallahu anhu, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu, or Abu Sufyan ibn al, another Abu Sufyan, ibn Haris, right? Like Abu Sufyan ibn Haris, he, as a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he basically fought Islam for 20 years. But right at the end, he became Muslim, right? Like before Fath al-Makkah, they became Muslim. And they not just become Muslim, they become people who spread Islam, they become Sahaba, we say, radiallahu anhu, their name, radiallahu anhu, jama'in. So that's from the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fadl, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you know that Islam demolishes, wipes out, extinct, whatever that was done before, Islam forgives all of that, right? Whatever sins that were done before, that's out of the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in a way, like I told, like, you know, new Muslims, you're very lucky. You know, you start with a clean slate and all your sins get turned into good deeds. You know, this is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and we have a long list of Allah forgive us, but so many things to get forgiven. Now, it continues. The command is to do something is a prohibition of doing its opposite. And a prohibition of something is a command to do its opposite. The prohibition, the nahi, is a call to lead an action by word to a subordinate in the manner of an obligation, and which indicates the moral corruption of what is prohibited. The grammatical form of the command might be used, but its intention is to convey permissibility, a rhetorical threat, equality between two actions, or transformation into something else. So let's go through that. Some of these are very similar. They're like the reverse of Amr. We studied Amr, or the imperative form of the command form, last week. The command to perform something specific is a prohibition from performing its opposite. The prohibition of performing something specific is a command to perform its opposite. So if he's told, remain still, it is a prohibition from moving. And if he's told, don't move, it is a command to remove motionless. This is, to translate, Sheikh Musa Ferber says, this is when there is only one alternative. When there are several alternatives, then it is known with certainty that one of them gets the opposite ruling, but it is unsure which one. Like, for example, if you tell somebody this point that he's making, and I'll go through this in a moment, but if you say, sit down, right, then you're giving the order to not stand, but also not to run, not to walk, not to fly, not to lie down. You're just asking the person to sit down, right? That's what he means about, like, there's one. Generally, we understand that when you say someone to sit, you mean don't stand. And if someone is stand, you tell someone to stand up, that means you don't want them to sit down. It's usually as one opposite. But if you tell someone to stand, it could mean stop running, right? Stand still, stop. You know, it could have it could have many meanings, right? When you stop somebody, it could be the opposite. Generally, it's the opposite, but this is only when there's one option. But sometimes it isn't about one option. All right. The prohibition is using an utterance to invite. So this is a definition that's like a reverse definition of Amr. The nahi, or the prohibition, is using an utterance to invite an action from an inferior, right? An action from an inferior in a way that conveys obligation. It follows what preceded, like concerning a definition of commands. We went through this. Categorical prohibition indicate, in the legal sense, the invalidity of the prohibited things. So we learn about sahih and fasid, like at the beginning, right at the beginning. So the invalid, so categorical prohibition indicate, in the legal sense, the invalidity of the prohibited thing. That which you've been stopped is to do with fasad, right? That is fasid. With respect to acts of worship, whether in itself was prohibited, for example, woman praying or fasting during the menses, or because of something it entailed, fasting on the day of immolation, Yom Nahar, which is the day of Eid, or on praying during the times wherein it is offensive to do so. With respect to transactions, prohibition indicates invalidity if it goes back to the contract itself. For example, buying whatever a tossed pebble happens to fall on, or because of something intrinsic, selling an animal which has not yet been born, or because of something external to which it is inextricably linked. For example, such as selling one dirham or two. I'll explain this in a moment. But if the prohibited matter is not inextricably linked, that is making ablution with stolen water and buying during the time of Friday prayer, it does not indicate invalidity, contrary to what the author's phrasing indicates, right? And the last bit of this section, the verb, phrase, or command may be mentioned, for example, while what is mentioned by the imperative is mere permissibility, a threat, right? For example, do as you will, equality between two things, for example, be patient or impatient, spontaneous formation. So nahi can be used for different reasons, not necessarily to is prohibited. Like amr can be used depending on how you use it in a sentence. So it could be just, as we discussed earlier, like amr can be mubah, nahi can also be explained to you that this thing is permissible, or the opposite is permissible. A threat, Allah says, do what you want, right? Like, do what you want, you're going to find out, right? So do as you will is not, is a threat to stop you, right? Or equality between things, be patient or don't be patient. Be patient, don't be patient. It's not telling you, stopping from not being patient. This is a equality between two things. Showing it doesn't make a difference whether you do this or that. Or spontaneous formation. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying at the point of that he turned the Bani Israel, a group of Bani Israel, into apes. So be you apes, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while he's given that order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says them as a punishment, right? So this is nahi being used for amr and nahi being used for other than the verbal phrase of commands might be mentioned as for other than prohibition or amr, right? So just explaining this part, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hujurat, لا يغتاب بعضكم بعض, لا يغتاب بعض, that some of you should not do ghiba, backbite each other. And like before they said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, this is the prohibitive form in the Quran, right? The simple form, prohibitive form, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not backbite. Do not, that isn't a nahi. It's like amr is compulsory, this is also compulsory. Like amr, it also excludes ishara, kitaba. It has to be bil-qawl, has to be addressed in speech. For the amr and nahi to mean anything, it has to be in speech, as it is in the case of the Quran. When you say, oh Allah, don't punish me. Now the form is considered nahi, don't punish. But of course, when you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are not, it's a request, it's you're begging Allah, it's a dua. Also, like when it's between two, remember the definition given here, it's from a nahi is given from someone higher to the lower, subordinate. Of course, it's not applicable to Allah because he's Rabbul Alameen, right? Also, if two equals, so this is iltimas, it's a request. When you give an order, it's not a prohibition, if you give amr, or you give nahi, the nahi, same like in, we use this word before, iltimas, it's a request from an equal, right? It mentioned about fasad there, that fasad is makes a transaction ineffective, as we learned before with amr, and makes an ibadah unacceptable. And he gave some scenarios there, and he broke down the manhiyu anhu, the things that are prohibited, into three types. And in terms of fasad, in the context of fasad, meaning that the action is invalid. Firstly, the actual ibadah or mu'amala transaction has been forbidden. The actual act has been forbidden. The actual transaction has been forbidden. So it's manhiya anhu in itself. For example, marriage to a mahram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, hurrimat alaykum mahatukum wa banatukum wa akhwatukum, till the end, right? So Allah has forbidden upon you your mothers, nikah, to your mothers, to your daughters, to your sisters, etc., and all those mahrams that are mentioned. So this is a manhiyun anhu. This is a thing that has been prohibited, right? Made haram or prohibited directly in itself. There's no way around this. That this is not a, if you fix a certain part of it, that this transaction will be fixed. Or riba, for example, riba is forbidden in itself. You can't give it a different name. If the nature of the transaction is riba, it'll always be haram, right? Or selling something haram, like the actual thing is haram, like alcohol or let's say swine meat, pig meat, right? The actual thing is haram. You're not allowed to sell this thing in itself, right? It's forbidden in itself to transact. The transaction from the outset, from the beginning, is actually forbidden. The second type of manhiyun anhu is the external, but connected to the act. Like you can say the first one is like the rukun or the thing itself, or it's like a sharp. The second one is like more like a sharp. So for example, wearing silk, right, is haram. Covering your awrah with the silk, the salat becomes batil, invalid, right? Silk is haram in itself for men. That is, for men it's haram. But it invalidates the salat if it is used to cover the awrah, right? And in this specific discussion, there's a lot of ikhtilaf. Among the scholars, there's a lot of ikhtilaf. Among this, among the usuleen, there's a lot of discussion. Whoever prays with silk to cover his awrah, the salat is invalid. However, if you made a hat, let's say you made a hat or a head covering from silk, right? Then the salat, he'll be sinful, but his salat will be valid, right? There's the other discussion of water that is maghsul, right? That is, what do you call it? If water is a usurp, someone like takes it by force from somebody, right? Or steals the water. Now, for the Hanbalis, in this masala, that water, your wudu will not be valid. It actually, it's an external thing to the act of salat, and your salat will not be valid because of it. Your wudu is not valid. So the action wudu will not be valid because the source of water is from an invalid source. So there'll be fasad of the wudu, because the shart of the wudu is not fulfilled. One of the shart of wudu is that the water has to be acquired in a mubah, permissible manner, right? The third one, so you got the number one, manhiyun anhu is the actual thing, like riba or hurrimat alaykum mahatukum, marriage to a mahram, right? Is forbidden in itself. There is the actual thing is forbidden, or selling something haram. Or there's a shart from the thing itself. It's sort of attached to the thing, but it's external to the act, right? It's not directly in the act itself, right? The actual act is fine, but this is a shart external to it that is not invalidates it, makes it fasid. The third one is it's external. It's not even tied to it. It's not a rukun internally within it or a shart. For example, wudu from a container made out of dhahab, from gold, right? A bowl made out of gold, right? The person will be sinful, but the wudu is valid. Right? It's not connected with the sharp or wudu. And in this as well, there's a lot of ikhtilaf. There's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of arguments, counter-arguments. In usul al-fiqh, this is a drawn argument. So these are like three ways to look at fasad. Now, so it mentions here the grammatical forms for the command might be used in, but intention is to convey permissibility. We learned about fakatibuhum, that the mukataba, the arrangement with the slave, we did last week, that the arrangement with the slave who organizes his freedom, then, that the amr here is given for permissibility, because in the end it says, if it is good, right? If they're good, then, or for example, like for Juma, right? First you're forbidden from, like, your order to go, and then after an order is given to you to go out, and first of all, you're given an order to come for Jummah, then you're told, "Fantashiru fil awqat min fadlillah," go out into the world and seek from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is allowing permissibility now to leave and work on the day of Jummah, continuing the rest of the day working. So this was for ibaha or permissibility, or اصبروا ولا تصبروا. If you make patient, not patient, سوانا, it's the same for you, right? So this is a rhetorical threat, and between two actions, you do this or this one, it's the same for you, right? So this is not a amar for doing one or a nahi for not doing sabr. Do sabr or don't do sabr, right? This is for, it's a rhetorical threat. And also lastly, I mentioned as well that transformation to something else regarding the Bani Israel when they're told to turn into apes. All right. The next section is about Aam and Khas. And today we'll do the section Aam. Aam is translated, I will read the slide first. Aam, general and specific. As for the general meaning, it is what generalizes two or more things. It comes from the phrase, I include Zayd and Umar in the gift, and I include all people in the gift. And here the translation is universal and particular applicability. So universal and particular applicability. Universal applicability, Aam, is what includes two or more things without constraint. That without constraint is added on, and this is more precise in the commentary. It makes the definition more precise. It comes from the phrase, I include Zayd and Umar with the gift, and I include men in their entirety with the gift. And that is, I included them with it, since universality includes comprehensiveness, right? So these are the linguistic meanings of it. So now we come into a very important topic in Usul al-Fiqh, which is what the word indicate, the dalalat al-lafz. What is the word telling us? What is the word indicating? Is a word general or universal? General or universal slash universal. This word is used interchangeably. So let's go by universal or specific, right? The word arm, even the word imama, turban, right? Why? Because it covers the head, right? Imama. Basically, it's meaning that something encompasses two things. So that which encompasses without limit. That without limit, without hasab, is very important. So if I say, for example, so this is a caveat that even Dr. Mutlaq, it's a commentary there, he mentions that this is a more precise definition, bila hasrin, and here he calls it min ghayri hasrin, which means the same thing, right? He says bila hasrin from another book, and it's a caveat, also like a little disclaimer, or like a precision, making the definition more precise. So two or more things without limit, right? So meaning that if you're restricting it, like you got a category, right? So when you say akrim tullab, honor the students. If you say honor the students, that means that this is general, or it means all the students, right? There's no restriction which students. So there's no limit on this, right? This is what Aam means. It includes all the individuals of that category, in this case, students, right? If a student is a category, all the members of that, all the students, individual members, all the students of that, they're all included. When you say akrim, honor the student, all the students. A word that encompasses without limits, for example, students in this case, in the example Sheikh Mutla gave in his dars. All right. والألفاظ أربع اسم الواحد المعرف بالألف واللام واسم الجمع. Sorry, I'm reading the Arabic. Its wordings are four: a single noun with a definite article, plural nouns with a definite article, undefined nouns such as whoever or animate beings, whatever for inanimate beings, whichever for anything, wherever for place, whenever for time, whatever for interrogatives, consequences and other things, and no for indefinite nouns. Generalities are characteristic of speech. It is not permissible to claim general application in actions which are not so, and whatever has a defined application. So this is the last slide for today. Today's a little bit shorter than usual. Listen. So I'll read from this book. The phrases established for universal applicability for Aam are four. Number one, singular nouns made definite using the definite article alif lam. So in Arabic, da is al. So generally, in a simple way, kitab means book, kitabun. Al kitabu means the book, right? So it's that's general with alif lam. It's called the definite article. So for example, man al insan is indeed in loss. Inna al insan al fi khusr. So here al is used. Singular noun is used with the al article, right? But what's the meaning here? Is it talking about a specific human being? But this al insan is referring to all the members of the category human being, all the genus, the jins. This al is for jins. This al is for genus in English, that whole category. So for example, you say alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. When you say alhamdu, are you talking about the hamd, the praise? A specific praise? Are you talking about? That's why we say sare tarifi Allah kili. You know, all the praises, for all the praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we saying all the praises? Where's all here? In terms of when you look at the alhamd, it means all praises. But we're just saying daham. It's not daham. It means all the possibility of praises that ever can exist from this genus of hamd, of praise. They all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that makes sense, inshallah. True, and as I said last week, now we're getting into the little bit. It's still easy to understand even if you don't know Arabic. Alhamdulillah, good. Mass nouns made definite by the definite article, for example, fight the polities, right? Fight the whole category of mushrikeen, right? Ambiguous nouns, so jama is used. I'll go through this again in a moment. Ambiguous nouns like whoever or sentient beings. So whoever enters my house is safe, right? Whoever enters my house, whoever, right, is ambiguous. These nouns are ambiguous. They're not talking about a specific whoever, right? Who's this whoever? Whoever, right? Whatever for non-sentient beings, whatever came to me from you, I have taken it. Whichever, right, interrogative, conditional, or a positive for them both, sentient and non-sentient. Sentient means that it's a living aqil and ghair aqil, like that human being and non-human being, right? For example, whichever of my slaves comes to you, be good to him. And whichever you desire, I give to you, right? So it can be used for, and can be used as a question, interrogative means question, as a conditional, for example, conditional like whichever of my students passes, he will get a gift. But that's a conditional. Yep. Wherever for the spatial, for example, wherever you are, I'm with you. Whenever for the temporal, for time, spatial to do with space, location. Whenever you wish, I will come to you. Whenever you wish, whatever for interrogatives, again for question. Do you have whatever for consequence with consequences? For example, whatever you do, you'll be rewarded for. Another version of the manuscript has the words predicates. Instead of consequence, but based on the commentary, for example, I will do whatever you do, and other things such as predicates following the first version of the manuscript and rewards following the second version. Anyway, these ambiguous nouns like ma, man, etc., ma, man, ayu, aina, and so forth, ma, all of these ones. They basically will change the meaning into an arm, right? They'll become an arm. So this is the third category of arm. The fourth one is a negative with definite nouns. For example, no man is in the house. So when you say no man, you're not talking about no a specific man. So la rajul fi dari, there's no man. There is no man. There's no nothing. No one specific. You might be talking about one man, right? But you're talking about the general category. There is no one from the category of all the men that is in the house, right? Universal applicability is an attribute of utterance. Just give me 1 second, sorry. I'm just checking the Arabic for a moment. Universal applicability is an attribute of utterances. So umum is from the applicability. So I said min sifat al-nutq, right? Am is an attribute of speech, right? It is not permissible to claim universal applicability for actions and other things which to take their course. So for example, the Prophet ﷺ combined two prayers while traveling, which is in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari. It cannot be a case of universal, it cannot be made am, since the action does not include both long and short journeys, since it took place in only one of the two. Like, what's a journey, right? Safar, every travel that you do a journey to work, right? Work could be 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away, right? So, and there's a long journeys, like you could be, have a journey for days. The Prophet ﷺ, preemption of sale, shufa. The shufa is preemptive sale where the neighbor has a right to buy, he's a right to the purchase of a property that is being sold. Like, for example, if your house is attached together, and the neighbor is selling the attached property, then there is a right that the neighbor has to that sale, since it does not include every neighbor due to the possibility. But does it include the hadith that says that the does it mean by neighbor the seventh neighbor? Right. I'll go through this in a moment. See, it does not include every neighbor due to the possibility of something particular to that particular neighbor. Particular applicability of khas is the opposite of universal applicability. So it is said, I think that's from next week. So it is said that which does not include two or more things without constraints of one man, two men, and three men. Yeah, that's for next week, inshallah. So what is the definition of am? In short, it is the definition of the hukum is applicable to all members of that category. You have a jins, you have a category. The hukum is applicable to all members of that category. Give the student a dollar. Give the students a dollar. Then it's necessary to give every single student a dollar. Right? There's a long hadith of tashahud. These are the leaders that Dr. Mutla gave in from his side in his dars of this book. In Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, in Sahihain, the long hadith on tashahud. And when you say assalamu alaykum nabi wa rahmatullahi wa salam alaykum wa ala ibadillahi salihin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you did this, you sallamtum ala kulli abdin salihin fi samai wal ard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you've given salam to upon every slave, righteous slave in the skies, in the heavens, and in the earth. Right? So this example of am, that when you get it's a hukum that applies to all members of the category. And ibadullah includes all slaves. Another dalil is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about horses, the virtues of horses in jihad. And then someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the donkeys. Like, some people might not have horses, they're more expensive, so they had donkeys. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nothing is revealed to me regarding that. Meaning he's revealed to him about horses, but nothing, lam yanzil alayya, nothing was revealed to me regardless. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he quoted, but fiha, there's nothing in except for this ayah. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا. Like, whoever does a dharra, an atom, an iota of good, he will see it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that in this ayah, there's a generality, there's an arm that includes all forms of good, that if a person was to do it, then they will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the three topics. The third topic, after discussing the definition of arm, after discussing the hukum of arm, tarif and the hukum. Imam Qarafi rahmullah, he wrote a book, two volumes on Aam and Khas only, this discussion. In this book, it's like three pages, right? But he wrote two volumes on this topic, on Aam and Khas. And he, in this book, he mentions some examples, like the four categories that I mentioned. These are not all the Aam that exist. These are the most common, and they're the most these are the most common and I'll send the name inshallah. These are the most common and the most obvious, right? The four categories that I mentioned: the singular noun with alif lam, the mass noun with alif lam, the definite article, the ambiguous nouns, third, and the negative and indefinite nouns, right? The negative with indefinite, sorry, the negative with it. These four are only the most important and the most obvious. But he has mentioned dozens and dozens, Imam Qarafi has mentioned dozens and dozens of cases. One of them is, for example, istithna, exception, right? Istithna, when it's mentioned, an exception. So, for example, all the students should, you should give $1 to every student, except for Zaid, right? Except for Zaid. Give all the students $1 except for Zaid. What does that tell you? Usually, whenever there is an exception, like, for example, give all the, in Arabic it's illa or ghayr, there's different words for it. Give $1 to all the students except Zaid. This word except or illa or the word of exception, right? Or another form of it. If it comes, or in English, save, or give $1 to every student, save Zaid. Or give all the other than Zaid, right? When these words come, whatever is before is always am. Right? This is one another way to know am. If there's an exception, what are you making exception from? You're making exception from an am, right? Or for example, inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, right? So the alif lam that's coming here, muhsinin is a jama, right? This is one, another category, right? Jama. I'm just giving you other examples of am from the four categories. Indeed, Allah loves the doers of good, all muhsinin without exception. Al muhsinin here, the alif lam is here, not for, it's a definite article, but it's here for shumul, it's for including all the members, all the muhsinin without exception. So, for example, the asma mubhama, the third category, ambiguous nouns, right? It doesn't indicate a specific individual or thing. They are used as asma or shart. They use as nouns of condition, right? We learned that conditional. If you do this, whichever of myself comes to you, be good to him, right? That's conditional, right? Whichever you desire, I'll give to you. Whichever you desire, I give to you. Conditional, right? It's not talking about a specific thing. Asma mawsula and asma ul istifham, interrogative istifham is for question. Mawsula is, I think he translates appositives, which, right? Whichever book, right? He read, he found it beneficial. I mean, just give an example, maybe I'm not getting right. But these are basically asma mubhama. They are the ambiguous noun. There's number three here. And this we find in hadith as well. So for example, man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on Fatah Makkah, before Fatah Makkah, man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan, fahuwa amin. Whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he's amin. This is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he's safe. And he has protection, right? So this is for umum, right? Innal insan lafi khusr, this is for umum, no human being without exception. He has iman and does amal, tawassul al-haq, tawassul al-sabr, then he's, all human beings lost, is except, here again, exception is coming. So all insan is lost except, right? Remember what I said about exemption before. Whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, meaning anybody that entered in the house of Abu Sufyan, any human being that entered the house of Abu Sufyan, he's safe, right? Or for example, the وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever Rasulullah gives you, meaning orders you, then فخذوه, take it. And whatever that he prevents you from, the state, refrain from that. This is for umum. Everything that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives you, right? That you take it. That which prevents you. Or for example, أَيُّمَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى. Whichever you call, whichever way you call, his are the best names. Right? Right? So that whichever way you call, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He has the most beautiful names, the best names. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Right? Wherever you may be, right? Wherever you may be, death will reach you, right? Death will overtake you, death will reach you. Wherever you are, right? مَتَى تَقُمْ أَقُمْ. Whenever, مَتَى تَقُمْ أَقُمْ. Like, this is not from the Quran, but this is Sheikh Mutla, he gave the example. Whenever you stand up, I will stand up, right? The fourth one is an indefinite, right? Indefinite noun. So if it doesn't have the alif lam article, like for example, you say kitabun, just means a book, right? A book, any book, right? He's given a definition, the negative with an indefinite noun. So la rajulan fiddari. There is no man in the house. But he said that there is a better definition. It doesn't mean, like right at the beginning, Dr. Mutlaq explained in his commentary of this that this is not a criticism, because Imam Juwayni is so early on and he says at the start, he absolves himself that he's writing just a summary. He's not going to cover everything, right? And the work of Usul al-Fiqh, this branch of knowledge, was advanced and developed later on, like advanced further and refined and perfected with time. And made more precise. The definitions were made more precise and more accurate, right? He said that every indefinite noun, every nakira in coming after a negative will indicate umum, general or universal, right? And same thing, but the thing is that this applies to every nafi. Here he mentions only the negative, right? He only mentions wala fi nakirat, wala fi nakirat. That's all he mentions. He just says la, right? But it applies to every nafi, every negative. It applies to every nahi, right? It also, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in nahi, la tushriku billahi shay'an, right? La tushrik billah. Do not make shirk with Allah anything. Right? So la tushrik billah is nahi. Right? La tushrik billah is a nahi. But the shay'an that's coming afterwards is for umum, not anything. Right? Also, in the flow of the sentence, if it's coming as a condition, in tubdu khair, in tubdu, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you show it or you hide it, right? You know, whatever they do openly or hiddenly, all right? So just give me 1 second. So in tubdu khayran, so that if you show good or you hide. So in tubdu is a condition. So it comes also in condition as well. So it's not only just la, it's also in the commentary of this or the dars of this, it gives also in a question, in a question form it comes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمَ هَلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. So, and how many generations we have destroyed before them? Do you sense the presence of any of them or hear them even a whisper? Do you sense from them? Do you hear them? Do you sense the presence of the people? So this is like, it's called istifham inkari, right? It's like it's used in a sense, the questions used here, but the noun that is there, the indefinite, from any of them, right? Any of them, then that's all of them, right? Have you heard from any of them since? Like other people that were destroyed before, any member of those people destroyed, have you sense of any of them or hear from? Meaning the question is not asking for an answer. It's a rhetorical question. The question answers itself, right? It doesn't need an answer. The question itself is istifham inkari, or a rhetorical question, right? So it can come in this type of question as well. So there's a nakira that's used there, and the nakira that is used there, it is for am. Or so what he's saying is that all these forms, whether it be nafi, I know there's some of you might not know Arabic, so therefore it'd be good to start learning. Nafi, negative, nahi, shart, istifham inkari, all these other things. It's not just for la, for the one la that is given there, which negates the jins. The jins la rajulun, la rajulun, la rajulun fi dari. Like there's no man in the house, right? And we cannot take the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say this has umum, like he did qasr. The example is given of qasr in salat. So you know you cannot take that action and make it umum for all safar, because the word safar is used, because safar can be used in different ways. Or Rasulullah SAW judged in a specific case. Like for example, he told Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu that his witness, his shahada, is equal to two shahada. Long story behind that, but he gave a shahada. His shahada is equal to two. He specifically indicated, right? Or for example, the case of Shufa, preemptive, how does he translate? Preemption of a sale, right? The preemption of a sale. So Rasulullah SAW said, Al-jaru haqqu bi shufati jarihi, that a neighbor has the right to preemption of sale to the neighbor, right? But you cannot generalize jar, the word jar, cannot be generalized beyond, like, because neighbors could be many things. Oh, he's my neighbor. He lives in the same street, right? Or he lives in the same neighborhood, my seventh neighbor. Where do you draw the limit? So this is cannot be generalized. So then I'll read that sentence. Generally is a characteristic of speech. It is not permissible to claim general application in actions, which are not so, and in whatever has a defined application, right? And Sheikh Musa, the translation here, universal applicability is an attribute of utterances. It is not permissible to claim universal applicability for actions and other actions which take their course. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding, and that's it for today. Sorry if I sound a bit flat. I have been sick for the last week, and I just came back from a dars Quran in the masjid, which is an hour there, an hour back, and an hour dars, so I'm a little bit tired. Just the timings, unfortunately, this is 10 o'clock at night, finishing at 11 o'clock in Australia. So, alhamdulillah, kulli hal, that's the way of the world. And so, people are, you know, all over the places. There's some ulama today that did some program on some, I think they're in New York. So, I think their lesson is in a very convenient time for us here. They're asking us to attend, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, so Australians get to get up for tahajjud, I guess, by force. Maybe another way to wake up for tahajjud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. And I'll just get the name for Imam Qarafi's book, because he didn't ask. Just give me 1 second. I don't know the book name, actually. Let me just see if I knew it. Fine, inshallah. Just give me 1 second. Apologies. Inshallah, when I find it, I'll send it, inshallah. JazakAllah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.